Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. Also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, so's Dave. Dave has five children, lives about 15 minutes from us. We both homeschool out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we look at the news, we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview on this program and try to interpret it such that we can raise our children in this crazy, crazy world. Dave, out in Virginia, they've got school districts, public school districts, that are advertising an atheist camp that advocates a summer camp for atheists, freethinkers, humanists, rights, or whatever. And Camp Quest, here it is. I got the ad right here in front of me. It's Camp Quest. It's beyond belief. Apparently, they don't believe in anything. There's no belief. It's beyond belief.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Yeah. Well, I don't believe in anything. Evidently, they believe that the camp is about $500 per camper. So my guess is somebody did not pay to get very absolutistic about their whole ethical construct.
So you think they have some ethical system and it's Federal Reserve notes?
I have a feeling they have some absolutistic attitudes towards whether or not someone would pay for this camp or not. But unfortunately, it's not rooted in anything beyond the naturalistic worldview, because they say they reject the supernatural life stance, and campers are encouraged to think for themselves and are not required to hold any particular view. Now, you know, I wonder if they wound up thinking for themselves and looking around and saying, well, I wonder if God created this thing. Would that be a problem?
That would be a problem. Again, they're not going to be able to look at the sunset and say, wow, what a beautiful...
Scratch that. No, beautiful. Can't use beauty.
That's right.
Yeah, you're assuming order there, Dave. Just be careful now.
What an interesting and fascinating random arrangement of cosmic dust.
Of total nothingness. And by the way, what you get in this camp is there is no ultimate purpose in life. You're just naturalistic cosmic dust floating around the universe, pure chance.
Then why
go? And at the end of the camp, they encourage the kids to throw themselves into the campfire. They don't throw the pine cones in. They throw themselves in. They burn up and become part of the oneness of all things. Anyway, Camp Quest, folks, out there in Virginia.
You wonder if life has no purpose. What's the purpose of going to camp? I'm just asking a question.
Well, maybe it's to jump into the campfire. I don't know. Anyway, folks, public school stuff, more stuff happening in the public schools encouraging kids to just be a little more self-consistent with the atheistic, naturalistic worldview that is taught every day in your friendly public schools. Now, here's the good news for the homeschoolers. They've won another geography bee. Well, this is boring stuff. I mean, they do this all the time. I don't know why we keep bringing this up on the air.
It's about as common as the sun coming up, yes.
Well, apparently, the 14-year-old Caitlin Snaring from Redmond, Washington. She was 8th grade, 14-year-old. She won the geography bee. But here's the amazing thing, Dave. The national media conspicuously forgot to mention the fact that she was homeschooled.
I think you just assume that now when you see national spelling bee winner, national geography bee winner. Doesn't everybody know it was a homeschooler? I mean, it's not just assumed. You don't need to report what you know.
Well, in 1999, David Beal won it, first homeschooler. Then 2002, a 10-year-old, the youngest ever, Calvin McCarter, remember the guy from Michigan, he won the geography bee, and then 2003 another homeschooler, and 2005 another homeschooler, and then again 2007. That's 5 out of the 8 geography bee winners are homeschooled. And let's see, Dave, they make up 3% of the national population, so 3% making 65% of the wins. Sounds to me like some homeschoolers are doing something right out there.
I think they are. I'd get really excited if they were competing against, you know, strong competition. But right now, the public schools simply aren't competing.
Yeah, but that's not bad for a bunch of doofus homeschool moms and dads who have no clue how to educate children. I came upon a brochure several months ago from a private school somewhere in the Colorado area. And it was written by some guy, and actually it was a series of brochures written by guys with PhDs and EdDs. And there might have been an FDD, GDD, and XDD. But there were a lot of DDs. That's all I remember. DDs all the way through. Anyway, these guys were promoting the idea of private Christian schools. Now, here's a quote from that particular brochure, Dave. I want you to listen carefully. There is a misjudgment among some circles that a teacher does not need to be university trained or carry the appropriate credentials. Unqualified persons should not perform brain surgery, and they certainly ought not to be teaching children. Okay. Now, Dave, this is the reason why a lot of people are not going to homeschool. It's because they've got the idea that it takes a professional. Whatever you do, don't try this at home. And ladies and gentlemen, this whole idea started way back, some 200 years ago. Hey, the K-12 system started with Rousseau back in the 1760s when he wrote his book, Emile. And of course, his whole concept was it takes a professional. He abandoned his own children on the steps of an orphanage, and this was a time where 2/3 of the children abandoned on the steps of orphanage died in the first year back in Paris, France in the 1740s. Anyway, Rousseau abandons 5 of his own children, and never forgets to check the gender. He doesn't know whether he had boys or girls. Abandons them on the steps of an orphanage and says, hey, his whole point is it takes a professional. I'm not qualified to raise these children. Let somebody else do it for me. Don't try this at home, ladies and gentlemen. Do not try to disciple, raise, homeschool your children at home, in spite of the evidence. Folks.
Kevin, I'm going to shock you. I agree with that statement. Unqualified people should not do brain surgery. I'm not going to go to the butcher if I need brain surgery. And unqualified people shouldn't educate my children. I agree with that. The problem is I disagree on what the qualifications are. It's not a university degree. It's to love your children. It's somebody who will love and nourish and admonish those children around the clock. And the way I look at it, nobody but a parent can love the children like that.
And Dave, it's not brain surgery. That's the problem. They think that teaching is brain surgery. It's heart surgery. Exactly. It's heart surgery. They're missing the whole worldview. They're missing the whole conception of what a person is. They have the wrong anthropology. They have the wrong theology. They have the wrong everyology. They don't understand that they're not supposed to be operating on brains. They're supposed to be operating on hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, yet the academics of children who've been homeschooled, who have been subject to heart surgery in a family relationship, in a discipleship relationship with mom and dad over all those years, do very, very well on nationally standardized tests. 26,000 homeschoolers tested in the Rudner study some 5-6 years ago, and they found out the homeschoolers were 25 to 35 percentile points above the national average. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, way above, statistically significant in terms of their improvement over what their counterparts do in public and private schools. And yet the study also looked at teacher certification. And Dave, again, here's the point. The point is you've got professionals out there who've been trained very well by guys like Jean-Jacques Rousseau. It takes a professional. All the EdDs and PhDs, effectively, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are saying it takes a professional to educate a child. And yet, in spite of the evidence, it's unbelievable. When studies look at teacher certification, they find out that, you see, there's some homeschool kids who have parents who are teacher certified and some who don't have teacher certified parents. Well, they find out there is absolutely no statistically significant difference between the academic performance of kids whose parents are teacher certified versus those who are not teacher certified. There is no statistically significant difference, my friends. This has been shown time and time again in recent studies since the modern homeschool movement was kicked off in the 1980s. Folks, I know this is a shocker, but for 5,700 years or longer, the world did not have professionals training children, raising children, educating children. They didn't have them in the founding of this nation. It did not happen for many, many years until the modern public school K-12 system was put in place in the 1830s and 1840s. Now, after this experiment has kicked in, we see the decline of education all over the place, at least in this country, and yet homeschooling comes back. The thing that we had been doing for 5,700 years comes back in the 1980s, and now we have the first opportunity to look and compare the results of those who have a homeschool versus those who are in this modern socialistic public school system. What we find is, again, homeschooling far better, and it does not take a professional. That's been proven again and again and again and again.
And that's, Kevin, simply because out of the heart flows the issues of life. You want to have a smart child? Have a good heart. Disciple the heart of your child. Academics will take care of itself because academics are mostly care.
And Dave, another myth that I think a lot of people believe is that, hey, education is really expensive. It takes a professional and it's way too expensive. Whatever you do, don't try to educate your children. Oh, this is undoable. It's only the government that can ever do something like this. Government, of course, in Colorado spends $7,200 educating children in the state. $7,200 per kid in this state. Can you believe it? I only spend about $200 educating my children out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and I'm saving the state some $36,000 by homeschooling 5 of my children out here. And by the way, when you turn something God meant for the family over to the state, you can bet it's going to become very expensive, and it usually doesn't work. That's what happens. Dave, think about it. $7,200 was what the state spends versus I spend $200. That's a factor of what? 36? Yeah, that's a factor of 36. I spend 1/36th of what the state spends on educating a child.
And that's if you look at it through the lens of Federal Reserve notes. It is not that expensive. However, let's be honest, it is expensive. It'll cost you your life as you pour that into your children because you love them and you lay down your life for your children. In that sense, it's very expensive, but that's why it works.
And, you know, in the founding of this nation, Dave, George Washington and Patrick Henry didn't have curriculum. I want you to think about that. They didn't have curriculum. They didn't have huge curriculum fairs. Even the homeschool movement today has these huge fairs. We have hundreds and hundreds of vendors with professional curriculum produced by very professional people who really are knowing know what they're doing. But guys like Patrick Henry and George Washington didn't have official curriculum. You know, they had 3 or 4 or 5, 10 books, and that was about it. That's all they had for the entire library. And yet, Dave, when they came through it, they were much, much, much better educated than anybody who goes to the public school today. And I think the difference is probably character. What do you think?
I think it's character. And I think also that the best educated people, they had their main textbook, which was the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible. They learned to read it. They learned to study it. They learned the fountainhead of all knowledge.
Which has a lot to do with faith and character, as it turns out. Ladies and gentlemen, the core of education, faith and character. It's there in the Bible. That was the core curriculum for the founding of this nation, and it certainly ought to be the same way today. What is a successful education? If you want a successful education for your children, what is it? Well, it's an education that focuses on faith and character. It maintains a solid foundation of the fear of God, Proverbs 1:7. It takes into account the principle of individuality. So it doesn't standardize the education. It's also based in a long-term, close-knit relationship that's cultivated over years and years between the teacher, between the parent, and the child. It's life-integrated, so it brings knowledge to direct life application. That's an education that will be successful. And that's a summary of my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets of the Best Education for Your Child. So what is the best way to get that education for your child? In some huge, standardized system that's incapable of focusing on character, incapable of disciplining your child in love, incapable of tailor-making education for your child's unique learning patterns and his gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given him, incapable of close-knit relationships and incapable of making direct life applications in everyday life every single day? Is that the best way to educate a child? I don't think so. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to recommend to you considering home education, but I also want to talk about some of the other options: charter schools, classical schools, and Christian schools. We're going to look at these next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this Family Conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio. Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, today talking about the best education for our children, and certainly I think, Dave, parents should care for that, shouldn't they? And to assume that professionals and bureaucrats can take care of all that for me, I think that's just pure stupidity. I think the average a parent out there knows deep down in their hearts you cannot trust the bureaucrats to give your children a good education. You've got to explore those options yourself.
Well, I think if a parent loves their child, they're going to want to see what's best for their child. They're going to want to raise that child. Now, if they don't love their child, then they're fine with letting some bureaucrat not love their child also.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the other options. Charter schools have become very, very popular, Dave. I think some people have the impression that they produce better academic results. Sometimes they have smaller class sizes. That allows for it. Sometimes they allow some better curriculum, I guess, and so forth. So, but I think on average, charter schools are just about even with the overall public school average out there. At least the studies that I have seen have indicated that. There are some charter schools, I'm sure, that do better academically than others. However, the question that keeps coming back to me is the Proverbs 1:7 question. If you're going to delegate the education of your child, I think it's vitally important to ask the question, Dave. What is the foundation? What do you guys teach as the foundation of knowledge and wisdom in this establishment? Every parent needs to walk into that charter school office and ask that question of those teachers and that principal. When you get out there in front of the class and you teach science, what do you do? Do you teach it in the fear of God or not? If the end of the science class, do you tell your entire class to step back in awe and have a moment of silence and then pray and worship Almighty God for what He has created in this marvelous universe with all its beauty and complexity? Dave, you know, if science isn't taught that way, I'd say we got a bad approach to education. If we're not teaching the foundation of knowledge and wisdom as the fear of God, Proverbs 1:7, we've rejected God's theory on education. We've thrown it out the window, and we could care less what God thinks. I think in the end, Dave, we got a bad education, and that foundation is not going to be there. It'll be like the house on the rock or the house on the sand when the rains came. That house is going to come down.
Well, I think charter schools are an acknowledgement that what's happening in the public schools is failing. But what charter schools do is they return to the 1960s, what was happening in schools then, and not return to the Bible. So they're failing, but not as fast. And so I think the problem with the charter schools, again, is what is their authority? Is it going to be what worked in 1960, what was failing in 1960, just not as fast as it's failing now, or are they going to return back to the Word of God?
Well, folks, again, you got to make sure they're teaching an education based in the fear of God. And I think we've abandoned that over the last 100 years or so, ever since we tried to take God out of the curriculum, remove that three-letter word out of the history class, the literature classes, and the science classes. I think we began to find an education that was based in the fear of man and the respect for the dignity of man, but not for the honor of God himself. Well, let's again talk about classical schools, because they've become very popular today, Dave. And there's some real good things about the classical schools that I appreciate. I appreciate some of the rigor. I appreciate some of the books that they study and some of the depth they go into. I appreciate the fact that they've got the trivium there. You know, they work from the grammar stage into more of the critical stage and the rhetoric stage. I think some of that really aligns with some of the biblical constructs of a human being. You talk about moving from knowledge to understanding to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And yeah, you have some biblical references to the development of the maturity of the mind. And I think that pretty much coordinates with that. But one of the problems I have with classical education is you have the separation of knowledge and application. And you've had this all the way back since Aristotle wrote his book Rhetoric. He talks about the logos. He talks about the pathos and the athos in the delivery, in the speech, in the communication. But he refuses to deal with thelema. He will not bring the will into his rhetoric. Now, why? Because the Greeks did not respect the life application, the obedience element of knowledge. They separated knowledge and charity. And in the end, knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So again, I've got a problem when we've got knowledge and academic rigor on one hand, but the assumption is that this is going to equal character. But Dave, here's the problem. The standard, the biblical standard, is not academic rigor. That's not the biblical standard. That's the standard for the classical school. The standard for God is His law. So God's law allows for flexibility and liberty in education while establishing the standard for character in the book of Proverbs, which is the fear of God, faith, and character. And that's the core of a good education. Now, some folks will err on the side of liberty and deny God's law in this sort of child-directed education. Got that in the Montessori approach to education. The child is the one who knows. He's going to direct the education. That, to me, denies a biblical concept of who the child is and how the child ought to be directed and led, and his character ought to be formed as dictated in the book of Proverbs. But then some err on the side of structure and deny God's law and God's liberty. And this is standardized education, like E.D. Hirsch, and a lot of the classical folks tend to err on this side. They say he'd better be reading Plato at 11 years of age and have his Latin down to boot. But see, that's not in God's law anywhere. God's law says he needs to honor his parents, love his brothers and sisters, and be diligent about his labors. That's the standard. It's not to be able to read Homer and Plato at 11. See, so I think the classical schools wind up not achieving what really needs to be achieved, which is the biblical standard of charity or love rather than knowledge for the sake of knowledge. And this is my problem with a lot of classical approaches to learning. And the other thing is, what is the end result? Are we getting humility and charity, or are we getting pride? I tell you what, I see way too many classical schools delivering pride and not a lot of humility and charity as the end result. Now, let's talk a little bit more about Christian schools, because this is really sort of the broader topic here. What about Christian schools, and why am I not sending my children to Christian schools today? Why am I homeschooling? People have asked me this question. Now, I taught in a Christian school. When the year Daniel was born, I went to a Christian school and taught for a year up in Grants Pass, Oregon, and with the intention of maybe committing my life to the Christian school movement and sending my children through public Christian schools. But Dave, what I discovered was that Christian schools really have a hard time discipling children. In fact, the best kids in my junior high and high school classrooms were homeschooled. They had great character. They honored the teacher, and they were connected. They were diligent. They were probably, for the most part, the smartest students in the classroom because of their diligence. But the thing I noticed is, and this is the thing that frustrated me, is that even these homeschool kids who had brought back into the public school were far more influenced by their peers than they were by me. And Dave, that was such a frustration for me, because I wanted to be discipling these young folks and be encouraging them in the Word of God and developing their character, but they were always far more interested in the peer group than they were in the teachers. And this is almost to a T. There were maybe a few exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, children were far more influenced by their peers, far more discipled by their peers than they were by the teachers.
Kevin, I spent a brief amount of time in a classical Christian private school teaching classical education. And what I discovered was that those children did not pay attention to me, did not hang on my words like my children do, because I wasn't their father. I didn't love them. I didn't change their diapers. I didn't spank them when they were naughty. To put it another way, I wasn't discipling them. I was educating them. And so even though the content of the course was very strong, the method was not biblical.
Dave, and you know, there was a homeschool mom that had some troubles with her teenage daughters, and she put them in a really good Christian school, the best Christian school she could find in a major city in Colorado. And, you know, she continued to have troubles with that, with her older girl. And I was in a meeting with the principal and the worldview teacher and this mother was pleading with the principal that he do something, that he reach this girl, he establish a relationship such that he could decide her and give her a little bit of Jesus and hopefully, you know, disciple this girl through her teenage struggles. And Dave, in the end, the guy really never had the opportunity to do that. Now, I don't know if he didn't have the time, certainly did not have the relationship with her where he could do it. And in the end, the girl wound up leaving home and rebelling anyway. So it never really solved the problem, Dave. And here's the thing. This school was a good Christian school. They had good worldview material, some of the best, you know, Summit, David Noble's materials, excellent stuff that they're teaching these kids. But folks, what we're after here is not just worldview, it's relationships too. Our program is dedicated to bringing worldview, truth, and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. And unless we can revive relationships, worldviews are going to be worthless. That's only half the battle. We've got to teach a solid worldview in the warm womb or nest of relationships. And if we can't regain relationships and teach truth in relationships, then we don't have discipleship. And discipleship is what God wants in the education of a child. Folks, we got to wrap it up today, but I want to encourage you, if you are looking at bringing a good education to your child, that you get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Just take some time and look into what a good education is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll make all the difference in the world for your child. If you, as moms and dads, will just take a few minutes to ask the question, how can I give my children the best education to prepare them for life and for eternity? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about life and death issues here for your kids. Look into it. Give them the education that God wants them to have. Don't just take what the professionals say. You can get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And by the way, it's just a review of what the Word of God has to say about education. That's all it is. You can go into the Word of God, too, for that matter. But if you'd like a little more help, pick out my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets, at our website, kevinswanson.com. and you can get it there. Just click on upgrade. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program, too, by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.